As we remain standing, let us pray. Lord, ruler of the universe and ruler of our hearts, let your word spoken here transform us from the inside out. Let the power of your word spoken here open the eyes of our hearts, and let your word heard here bring us shalom. We ask all this in the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So I had just finished my laps in the pool. Oh, go ahead, ask me how many laps I did. How many laps did you do? 32. I know, thank you. So I had just finished doing my laps, and I was standing. What I do after I do my laps is I get some dumbbells, and I know, that was otherwise known as weights, and I do, you know, some exercises, which is often pretty mindless. Anyhow, and I realized that I had been worrying all the time doing these, doing my exercises about my unvaccinated grandson, my daughter, my sermon, some work that was going to be done on my house, thank you to Ross, a program I had to take in November to renew my license, and someone I know who is not very well. You know how this goes, right? So a woman that I also swim with, she swam by and she said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yes," but it dawned on me that I had been on a mindless worry loop. She said she was. I looked worried, and that's why she asked. My face showed that I was worrying, and I had no idea. So worry is something we all do. And the question I asked myself this week as I was preparing for this is, why do we worry? Normal worry is necessary, I think, probably in order to motivate us to do things that need to get done, right? But worrying is about trying to control the future in an attempt to control our problems, somehow believing that if we can control our problems or challenges, we will eventually solve them. Worrying actually hinders us from solving the very problems we are worrying about. The very things that we are trying to solve are intensified through excessive worrying. Help me on this one, Nick. So, according to medical research, too much worrying activates the amygdala. Amygdala, right? Found in the limbic system, circuiting our prefrontal cortex. Oy. Thank you. Where is our prefrontal cortex?
In your head.
Okay. Seriously?
It's all in your head,
that's right. Okay. So the limbic system is the emotional center of our brain that controls fight or flight. All right, so now we know it goes on there. And fight or flight is a primitive mechanism going back to the caveman that keeps us safe from danger. So when we worry excessively, it becomes overactive, releasing excessive amounts of adrenaline. True? There you go. Causing us to see dangers that are not really there or to overestimate danger. Does that all make sense? So we become emotionally activated versus calm and rational in thinking. And the strong emotional change makes it hard, if not impossible, to find solutions to the challenges. So I would argue that the opposite of worrying is thankfulness or gratitude. And actually, I heard something today on CBC as I was coming in. That again, thinking gratitude, grateful thoughts also changes how your brain works. So there you go. So today of all days, Thanksgiving Sunday, the reading from Matthew is a reminder that all the worrying in the world will not stop the flowers from blooming, the birds from singing, or the grass from growing. And Jesus' listeners knew they were living in an insecure world. Most had only the bare essentials of life and were dependent on the weather and the soil for the crops needed to sustain them. And it was this insecurity, can you imagine, that led people to anxiety, to be anxious. What if there isn't enough rain this year? What if the crops are diseased? What if I can't provide food for my family? And this anxiety tempted many of Jesus' followers to try and serve mammon as well as God. Now, mammon is having a plentiful supply of material goods and money that offer a security against the unpredictability of life and the future. And it is easy, I get it, to understand that the drive to depend on worldly goods in an attempt to alleviate the stress. I totally get it. And Jesus knows, because he knows us better than we know ourselves, that we are going to be tempted by the appearance of security that accumulated wealth and stuff and things seem to offer. And he makes several points to help combat the temptation to live out of anxiety. And first, he states the truth that life is more than just food and clothing. He's saying, look, stop and consider just what is life about. And in our anxiety to obtain even basic things for ourselves, we can so easily live as if this is all that life is about, that this is the deepest and truest thing about life. And if our life is reduced to the stuff we have and want more, then we will miss out in the deeper, truer sense of being. We will not be in the present. Jesus turned to the birds and the flowers and into our anxiety and asked us to consider the character of the Creator. Look at the birds. They don't have to work for their food. Thank you, Adam. Or by sowing or reaping or by storing some away for the future. Yet they're still fed. How? God feeds them. Now, in the text that I have, Jesus says, your heavenly Father feeds them. God is the one who sustains and takes care of his creation, who has direct interest in it and takes direct action in the lives of all creatures, great and small. Knowing this, and here's the second part, and believing it, how can any of us spend time worrying about our lives, be they short or long? He's really talking today. Holy moly. Look at those lilies. Look at the grasses. Take time to look at all that God has created and cared for. Get involved. God is involved and good to all of his creation. Then how much more will he be involved with us who are such an essential part? And this is the reason we are not to be anxious, because we are not alone or abandoned in the world. So I am going to remove "I worry" out of my vocabulary. I'm really, and it's, I go there in a minute. You go there? I worry. I'm going to stop it. I'm really going to be intentional about it. I'll let you know how I'm doing. And Jesus makes a point about the uselessness of our anxiety. He asks, and which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Not one flipping second. The truth is that we're not able, by our worrying, to add to our life. Any stress we have over our physical well-being, our security on this earth, does not have the power to prolong our life. Can I have amen, please?
Amen.
Thank you. So be it. And, you know, I don't know if this is, but when I turned 70, there was a real shift in terms of the finiteness. I may only have 19 more Christmases or 19 more Thanksgivings or whatever, right? And my worrying is not going to make a difference in that. Any stress we have over our physical well-being or security on this earth does not have the power to prolong our life. So instead of being anxious and worrying, we are to seek first the kingdom, and then doing so, our secondary needs, like food and clothing, will be taken care of. Seeking the kingdom is trusting that each one of us is a beloved child of an active, good, and gracious Lord. And it is wonderful to realize that God, who made us, desires that we don't be anxious. We live as children who are beloved and cared for moment by moment. And when we are tempted to be anxious, and certainly the world wants us to be anxious because we might buy stuff, we need to remember that that is not coming from God. Trusting in God and not being anxious are not automatic things, and Jesus knows that. He's speaking to a Jewish audience who knew who God was and how they'd been provided for. But their present circumstances, and certainly under a terrible Roman rule, tempted them to forget what they knew about God. And Jesus shows us that God wants to feed our faith so we no longer feel a need to worry or be anxious. We need to hear this again and again in the midst of the clamor and noise of voices that tempt us towards worry. Doesn't take much, does it? The kingdom is where God's good, life-giving will is done, where the character of a loving, just, and merciful deity is full known and enjoyed. We are to live as children of God, who is and always will be actively present. And when we participate in God's will with hope and trust, we are seeking the kingdom. Thankfulness with a heart full of gratitude is the opposite of worry. So if thankfulness is the recognition of how God has provided, then anxiety and worry leads to inability to see how God has provided. I'm going to say that one again. If thankfulness, or let's say gratitude, is the recognition of how God has provided, then anxiety and worry leads us to the inability to see how God has provided. As one writer explained, worry consists of chest-pounding anxiety over what the future holds. And there are so many things to be worried about. Yet worry prevents us from seeing the gifts that surround us. And we are, all of us, each one of us, and certainly through the past 18 months we've gone through, have had a lot of anxiety and worry. So Mary Oliver's poem, "I Worried," seems so appropriate now. I worried a lot. Will the gardens grow? Will the rivers flow in the right direction? Will the earth turn as it was taught? And if not, how shall it be corrected? Was I right? Was I wrong? Will I be forgiven? Can I do better? Will I ever be able to sing even as the sparrows can do? Am I well? Am I helpless? Is my eyesight fading? Or am I just imagining it? Am I going to get rheumatism, lockjaw, dementia? Finally, I saw that worrying had come to nothing and gave it up. And I took my old body and went out into the morning and sang. Let us pray. Praise to you, faithful God, you who never fail those who trust in you, but you allow us to share in your glory. You fight for us everything that could attack or harm us. You are our shepherd, and you free us from the snare. You protect us that honor you, O God. Great is the sweetness that you give. In Jesus' name. And that's from a Benedictine monk who lived in medieval Switzerland in the 10th century. Amen.